Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh. And our guest is Sedgwick County Fire Marshal Brad Crisp. Welcome to Issues 2025, Brad.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good to have you with us. You know, it's called the Sedgwick County Fire District 1. I don't know what that means. What does District 1 mean?
Yeah, well, it's kind of unique, especially in this part of the country. There aren't many fire districts, so to speak, or at least not full-time fire districts. The fire district is its own taxing entity. We're actually a separate part of county government. So we collect our own mill levy. We have our own territory. So when you hear about the fire district is 620 square miles within Sedgwick County that basically excludes Wichita and the city of Derby. Most everything else is ours.
Wow. Well, who thought that up?
Some really smart people back in 1954.
You think it's a good idea then?
Yeah. You know, well, originally we were set up to protect the bridges and some of the county properties out in the rural areas that Wichita Fire couldn't or wouldn't respond to.
Yeah.
And it grew. And so now we have 9 fire stations throughout the county, and we protect a lot of ground and a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, of course, there are a number of small cities in Sedgwick County. Mm-hmm. I stop to think about it very often, but when I looked at your webpage the other day, it's a count of, what, 9 or something?
Yeah, there's a few more than that because there's some smaller ones that we don't think about very often. But, yeah, we protect Hayesville, Goddard, Mays, Keachy, Park City, Bel Air, Furley. I mean, we've got so many small cities all the way around Wichita and through Sedgwick County. We have Andale clear out in the western part of the county, so we got a lot of area that we cover.
What does each of these cities have its own fire department then? Or
no, it's us. Yep. We have fire stations. We have fire stations in those small cities, and we provide their fire protection. And then, of course, we have agreements with some of the volunteer fire departments around, and obviously the paid professional departments like Derby and Wichita. We have agreements with them, and they come help us, and we go help them.
Are there volunteers in the county?
There sure are. Valley Center, for example, has a good volunteer fire department. They're very responsive and they take care of business. They're kind of a combination paid and volunteer. Colwich has a volunteer fire department. So yeah, there's still some volunteer fire departments around.
I was just thinking when you get out in this way out in the country, I'll pick a city. You know, it's a smaller city out in western Kansas someplace. So those folks all they have volunteers.
They do. Yeah. So the smallest. Farthest west city for us in the county is Cheney, and Cheney Fire has a volunteer department. Mm. So there's still volleys out there. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah.
There's people out there who are volunteering to fight fires.
That's right. Oh.
How many fire stations is Sedgwick County?
We have nine fire stations.
I think you already told me that. But
yep. On any given day, we have 41 to 45 firefighters on duty responding to calls that happen out in our jurisdiction.
That many on duty, but how many firefighters do you have total?
Total, we have about 150.
150.
Uh-huh. Yep. So we're about a third of the size of the Wichita Fire Department, but that also makes us the fifth largest fire department in the state.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What kind of equipment do you have in each of those stations?
It varies. So since we do have a lot of rural responsibilities, we have normal fire trucks. Like we have Quints and we have engines, just like you would expect any metropolitan fire department to have. But in many instances, we have to bring our own water with us. So we have tenders that carry copious amounts of water that we bring to our fires. We also have what we call brush trucks, and those are specially designed smaller kind of like pickup trucks on steroids that we use to fight grass fires and terrain fires like down in washes and creek bottoms and whatnot.
Well, you know, my brother's retired after the city fire department over, and I still don't know all this terminology. I should. What is a Quint?
Yeah, so a Quint is a fire truck that has a ladder on it. Okay. Our ladders have 100-foot, our quints have 100-foot ladders on them, so they're larger than a typical quint. A typical quint had a 75-foot ladder, but it's also a fire engine, so it has a pump and it has a water supply and it carries all the hose and tools and equipment that a normal, you know, fire truck would have. It just has the addition of that large ladder. That's why they're called
and
a
quint. And the ladder, it's up on top of the vehicle. I got you.
Yep.
It's not just a ladder you hung on the side of it.
Exactly. And it's not just what we call in the fire service, what we call a truck or a ladder.
Yeah.
Is dedicated to truck type work, like getting on the roof and cutting holes and whatnot. They don't always have a pump on them. They don't always carry water, whereas quints do. So we have three quints in the county because we have tall structures out in the county, but we also need to bring our ability to have water and to pump fires with those same apparatus. So they work pretty well for us.
The quint then is the one that I bought a model for my two grandsons when they were little boys at Christmas time. That'd be the one. It had lights on it and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
One of their favorite toys. So are you having staffing difficulties? Everybody seems to.
We really aren't. We are getting ready to hire a small class in February, and that will fill us up. We've been running anywhere from 4 to 5 people short for a while now. But I'll tell you what, the county commissioners did us a real solid in the last couple of years. They got our pay right, which allows us to keep the people that we have and attract people who want to get into the fire service. And we have successfully got our ranks filled. Like I said, we'll finish it off this February. We are really, really running strong with good people. They're very dedicated people. They're very intelligent. They're very good at what they do. And we're competitively paying them, and we're in really good shape.
What's that training course like? I mean, is it
it's
weeks,
tough.
2 years? What?
No, there's some variables, but generally we can get it done in 10 to 12 weeks. And it's a full-blown recruit academy. It's very physical. It's very hands-on. And when they come in to our academy, they learn all of the basic firefighter skill sets that they need to have to be successful to finish their probationary year out in a fire station. But it's a very, very physical academy. It's 10 to 12 weeks.
Which begs the question, the physical qualifications, do you have many women on the fire department?
Yeah, we do. We currently have 5 women in the fire service with Sedgwick County Fire District 1. Of course, we're always looking to recruit the best talent, regardless of gender or race. We want people that want to come in here and serve folks in the capacity as firefighters, and we'll train you how to do that. You just got to get your EMT and sign up, and we'll take you on.
You know, I've got my granddaughter. One of my granddaughters has a boyfriend who I think I heard him say he's going to go for county fire.
Yeah.
And he's the only sharp boyfriend in the bunch, but, you know, just, I think that, yeah, he knows what he's going to do. The thing is, I presume county firefighters are like city firefighters.
Absolutely.
They're on, what, on 24 off 48, or is it the other way around?
Okay, so this is interesting. So we just changed our schedule.
Okay.
City fire is 24-48. We just changed our schedule to where our firefighter is going to work 48 hours straight, and then they're going to be off for 96 hours. So they're going to work 2 full days, and then they're going to be off 4 full days.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, where do I sign up?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Give your
They make me work
future,
5 days a week, man.
Yeah, your granddaughter's future husband needs my contact information.
Well, you know, and you just like, so let's speak to some of those younger people out there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of a career are you talking about here?
As
I understand it, you've got competitive pay. You're not going to make. You're not going to be a millionaire. Well, you could be a millionaire
if
you invest properly. But you've got. What other benefits do you have?
There's the tangible and there's the intangible things. Okay, I'll talk about the tangible. We're competitive in pay. We'll help you pay for your education. You're going to have health care. You're going to have a retirement at the end of your career that pays you forever, and it pays your spouse forever, by the way. Those are the tangible things. Not only is it nice to have a paycheck every 2 weeks, but you get to come to work and drive a $1 million fire truck. I mean, come on. Who gets to drive a $1 million car around, right? But there's the intangible thing, Steve, that I like to talk about with these young people, and it resonates with a lot of people, and that is getting to help others in their most desperate time of need. When somebody calls 911, they're probably having the worst day of their life, and they don't know what they need. They just need help, right? And inevitably, the fire department gets involved because we're kind of the catch-all. And if you really enjoy helping other people, the fire service or law enforcement or whatever that public safety interest is of yours, that's for you. And we have a seat at the table if that's something you're interested in.
You mentioned something that caught my attention, and I'll think about it again. What's the most common cause of a house fire in the county?
Yeah, most common cause is probably going to be cooking. Where we're at, and that's pretty much nationwide. A lot of kitchen fires, barbecue grills. That's probably followed by, this time of year especially, space heaters and people wanting to use space heaters in ways that they're not designed to. So I made a fire this weekend down in Oaklawn where a family had used a space heater to try to keep their pets warm who were outside, and they covered the pet's kennel with a horse blanket, a real heavy-duty blanket on top of the space heater, and that did not end well for anybody. That's pretty common this time of year.
Seems like in the past, years past, smoking was a big cause. Probably not as much anymore.
Not as much. I mean, we still have fires that are caused by smoking. They've done a lot with fire-safe cigarettes. It's not easy to have a fire. Honestly, it's not. And so when you have one, you've really accomplished something. Careless smoking probably gets blamed for more fires than what it actually causes. Most of the time, it's something that's accidental. Somebody does something that they probably should have thought differently about, or they do something that they probably shouldn't have done, and then we get involved.
Let's go back. I thought of what I wanted to mention to you, and that is you're talking about somebody being 2 days on and 4 days off.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, and I take the case of my brother and other people I've known in the firefighting business, and most of them had something else they were doing in addition to being a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you a lot of time to do something like that.
It does. You know, but here's what's interesting about that, because I've been around a long time, and this has changed. It used to be all of us firefighters had side jobs, right? Most of them, or a lot of them today, do not. They value staying home with their kids and their families. They value doing other things, whether it's working, you know, at the school, giving back to the community or whatnot. And they are not motivated typically by their side hustle. They're motivated by having quality time with their family. And this is something the firefighters brought to us. They brought it to the administration and said, we would like to look at this schedule change and enhance our quality of life. The pay's great. Morale is very high, but what could we do that isn't going to cost anybody anything but increase our quality of life? And the schedule change seemed to fit that bill, and we're going to give it a try.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Sedgwick County Fire Marshal Brad Crisp. How many – did you have any county firefighters seriously injured in the past year?
No. We have injuries from time to time. Most of them are relatively minor. We didn't have any significant injuries or, heaven forbid, fatalities of firefighters that belong to Sedgwick County Fire District 1. So that does bring up a good point. One of our initiatives for this year is to get all of our firefighters annual firefighter physicals, which is far beyond that which you go to your primary care physician to have. These are physicals that look at your cardiac, respiratory, chemical balances, things that affect your health for the rest of your life. And as you know, Steve, firefighters are kind of predisposed to some things like cancer and whatnot. And we're trying to look at ways to get into the preventative side of that and look after our firefighters' health.
Let's talk about burn permits. How many does a county issue in a year?
Oh, good Lord. Thousands and
really?
Thousands. Yeah, well, in the county, you can burn. So if you have 5 acres in the county and you want to have a burn barrel and burn your trash, you're allowed to do that. If you want to have a pile of lumber that you've cut back the bushes and the trees and whatnot, and you want to pile them up, you can do it. You just have to follow the rules. The wind has to be under 15 miles per hour. You have to have 100 feet of distance between your house and your burn pile or your neighbor's property. And we do it all online. And for the most part, people generally follow the rules, and we don't have a bad time with it. But, yeah, we do a lot of burn permits out in the county.
So what are the penalties if somebody's just out there burning away?
Well, if you're not following the rules and we have to visit more than once or twice, you're probably going to get about a $1,000 citation.
Okay.
And people want to avoid that, and we do too. We want people to do it safely.
Now, is a wildfire or a grass fire the most dangerous type of fire, or is it a structure fire?
You have to kind of put it in context, right? I mean, look at what's happening out in California right now. And I would argue that those wildfires, which are combined with structure fires, are probably more dangerous than what we see. You know, those fires are traveling 100 miles an hour. Around here, you can get a good grass fire that's traveling 40, 50 miles an hour with the wind, and it creates its own wind. And those can be very dangerous. You don't want to get out in front of those. Structure fires have their own unique challenges, and they can be very dangerous as well. So you really have to kind of put it in the context of what it is you're doing. And we're predisposed to wildland fires in the late fall and early spring because of the dry conditions and the wind typically picks up in Kansas. But on any given day, a structure fire can come out. And as a Sedgwick County firefighter, you have to be prepared for both.
Yeah. Has your department been monitoring that situation in California?
Yeah, I mean, we've been paying attention to it. Those conditions are a little different. You know, we don't have that kind of terrain. We do get dry conditions, and we do get winds, but those winds seem to be a little excessive with the time of year it is out there. We do a lot in the fall to talk about prevention of wildland and grass fires and ask people to clear out combustibles away from the outside of their house, keep their bushes trimmed back, mow grass down short. And I think for the most part, people kind of pay attention to that and take care of business. What they're experiencing in California is just, I think it's a complete shock to everybody, certainly to the fire service. I don't think they anticipated something like that happening.
Well, he's got a lot of critics, I can tell you that, for the authorities out there. But what could the California firefighters have done differently?
You know, I don't know.
Wind from blowing?
Yeah. How do you stop the wind? I mean, obviously, we like to prepare and we like to put in preventative measures. But sometimes when Mother Nature decides that she's going to do what she's going to do, we just kind of have to deal with the aftermath of it. It's like when a hurricane hits, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, you can prepare all you want, but when you get a 8-foot surge and 24 inches of rain, that's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing the fire department can do about that except for deal with the aftermath.
You know, I'm talking about out in the rural areas, without street signs of any kind out there, is it hard to find an alarm or pretty?
No, it's really not. So we have mapping systems within our CAD system and in our fire trucks. And, of course, everybody has Google Maps and Waze and whatnot on their phones. We have them in our computers, on the apparatus. The only thing that gets us jammed up is if the calling party doesn't know exactly where they're at and they send us to the wrong location.
Yeah.
We generally figure that out pretty quick because we know our area pretty well. But no, with technology, if somebody calls 911, we're generally able to get there pretty quick.
What are your response times then?
It's a little different in the county. So, you know, in those small cities that we serve, you know, golly, we're generally there 3.5 to 4 minutes, sometimes 5. If it's out in a rural area, it can be upwards towards that 11, 12-minute response time because they're out, you know, a little farther away out in the rural parts of the county. So our response times aren't quite as sharp out there. We still get there as quickly as we can, though.
What does the SCFD-1 Steering Council do?
Yeah, so
I saw this on your webpage.
So. Yeah, it's so exciting. So the Board of County Commissioners are our governing body, but depending on who gets elected, they may or may not live in the fire district, right? And Commissioner Beatty, to his credit, recognized that when he came in. Now, of course, Commissioner Beatty lives in the fire district, and he was bragging about that, which he should. He's very proud of that. But him and Commissioner Howell wanted to talk about actually having a representative form of guidance for us. And so they kind of decided upon the steering council, which are people from the fire district that the fire chief meets with monthly and reports to. And these are people that represent each of the small communities and the unincorporated areas of Sedgwick County, as well as a couple of our larger manufacturers like Textron and Spirit that are in the fire district. And they are our steering council. We talk to them about budget. We talk to them about hiring. We talk to them about fire code adoption. We talk to them about all the big issues that affect the folks that live in the fire district, the patrons of the fire district, and they weigh in and give us guidance on how to move those things forward.
Tell us about fireworks. If you're thinking about fireworks this time of year, it's kind of crazy, but since I've got you here.
Sure. So in the state of Kansas, there's still that 10-day window around fireworks season, and we honor that in the county. Each one of our small cities has their own set of rules, so you kind of got to know where you're at to understand what the rules are and to follow the rules. Generally speaking, fireworks are allowed from about June 26th through July 5th. Again, Wichita, Derby, and the small cities and the large cities alike can have their own rules. What we just want is for people to celebrate safely. I want you to be able to use fireworks. I want you to do it safely. That's what we ask.
Smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm.
How important are they?
Smoke detectors, golly, I've been doing this a long time. And smoke detectors save lives, I'm telling
you. They do.
They save lives, yeah, because, they wake people up. Yeah. Carbon monoxide is odorless, and you don't know that you are suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning until it's too late. In home fires, which is where most people die, they never wake up, right? They're in bed, they're asleep, there's a fire in the middle of the night, the smoke is generated along with carbon monoxide, and you stay asleep. Smoke alarms wake you up and give you an opportunity to get out of the home and to discover the fire while it's still in its incipient stage. And it's still early, it's still growing, it's still manageable and controllable. You can call 911 and have us come out and fight it. You might even have a chance to fight it yourself and save your property and your loved ones. Smoke alarms save lives, Steve.
Education-wise, what do you do? Do you go out periodically and go to the schools and mm-hmm. Yeah, meet with the kids and do a little program or something?
Absolutely. So, depending on the time of year, we still participate in the program at the zoo with the fifth grade luncheon. The fifth graders all come out from not only Sedgwick County but other surrounding counties and get fire prevention tips. We do slip, trip, and fall education at the senior centers to help people who are getting up there in age learn how to prevent those disastrous falls. We have a canine, and we go out and do fire safety talks with the canine to get the kids engaged in those discussions. There's just all kinds of things that the fire district does that goes well beyond fighting fire.
So how many years have you been doing this now, Brad?
Oh, wow. I started in the fire service in 1989, and so I think I'm crawling upon my 36th year.
About ready to hang it up?
No, here? Good Lord, no. I'm having fun. I love working for the fire district. I've got a great fire chief, Doug Williams. The Board of County Commissioners and our steering council are just amazing people. The county manager and the public safety director, Tom Stoltz, and Rusty Leeds are great to work for. I'm having fun. I enjoy coming to work, and I want to keep doing it as long as I can.
I want to mention your late father, Kerry, who mm-hmm. I knew him for several years. And
yep.
He was a police officer.
He was.
Did he make it to what, deputy chief?
Yeah, he was actually the interim police chief when he retired.
Wow.
In 1989.
Yeah. Well.
He passed away a couple of years ago in December. I miss him every day. And what a legacy he left.
Did he kind of help safety. You getting
yeah, he did. Well, he inspired me. Helping people who cannot help themselves. I originally wanted to be a police officer, and of course I became a firefighter and saw the light. I tell that to my police friends and they just chuckle at me. He absolutely inspired me. He continues to inspire me. I think of him all the time. I think, what would Dad do? What would Dad say? What would KD say? What would Kerry say? And we sure miss him.
Well, listen, thanks for being with us this morning. And I think you've probably recruited a few people who want to go. I like those hours.
I hope so. Visit Sedgwick.gov. We're taking applications.
Our guest, Sedgwick County Fire Marshal Brad Crisp. That's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.